now we move to actually the software side.
Yes. I was asked to talk about software design a little bit, so we'll see what we can do on this. Page down. I'm not going to go into a lot of this, but transportation, what our purpose is. We're doing studies. We're looking at air quality. We're trying to do policy stuff, operations. A high-level kind of organization of an advanced practice model. I think two things we haven't been talking about are here, system responses and the non-household stuff. We've been talking primarily up here and down here, but we are kind of like ignoring those other two components, which are probably 20% of our travel. And basically, what's my definition of kind of what I think we're trying to do, our analysis requirements for an advanced practice model. We need finer resolution of time and space. I would characterize that as a network-based locations and 15 minutes or less in our time sensitivity. The travel decisions are household-based. We've talked about that a lot. I think we need to have operations of streets and facilities, the time-dependent network with dynamic operational changes in that network. And it needs to be at a regional level with individual vehicles and persons evaluating performance of the system, things like speeds, queues, flows, ridership, and then time of day, vehicle types, et cetera. I think we talked a good bit about this. So the computational challenges, as I see it, kind of we're working within a world where people have been doing this for 40 years using traditional methods. And they have expectations about what processing time is and what a reasonable model run is. And I would characterize acceptable for the MPO level that's today is about 24-hour model runs. Beyond that, they aren't happy. They make trade-offs. Large regions are trading off their details, the complexity of their model with their hardware requirements, or they're going to these, doing everything in-house or farming it out to a cloud of some sort. Advanced practice models are significantly more complex and computational intensive, and we probably need to have the high-performance computing environments to even make them feasible, much less acceptable. And I know my assessment, anyway, is MPOs aren't willing to go beyond 48 hours or 60 hours at most for a fully iterated model run. I'm going to talk about three quick case studies and three different kinds of things, basically using a traditional model and then an activity model on top of a traditional assignment package and then a combination of activity and simulation. So MWCOG, Washington Council of Governments, and the MPO, basically they designed a new model. This is kind of the characteristics of it. And then there's a WMATA that's a post-processor on that. We won't talk about much detail there. It is a queue-based model, and they tested a lot of different configurations to see what they can do with run times, and you can see hours here for their process. And basically they decided that they wanted to go with this by conjugate with four cores as their assumption, because that's what the clients in their region have available on their desktop. That's the primary reason. They don't have machines bigger than that, so they restricted their operations to that kind of thing. However, they did find and are very concerned about the accuracy of the results, the reproducibleness of the process, and the differences going to multi-processing, multi-core convergence does to the results. So in this case, they're showing small, very small, but different answers by going from one core to four cores. This is very frustrating to them. They've been back and forth with CityLabs about this a lot. But because of this issue, they're standardizing their runs on a four-core machine. So they get the same answer every time with a four-core. Even though they have 12 available on their machines, they can only use four, because that's going to give them the same answer every time. And everybody else in the region is going to get the same answer every time. So that's a problem. This is a difference of daily volumes of greater than 20% between the two, one core, four core, same assignment, same input, same output. They also found problems with going to very fine relative gap measures, -6. And somehow in the cube assignment, when it gets to some point, it goes crazy and gets relative gaps going up and actual gap measures going to zero. So there's issues like this that still need to be addressed when we try to get into that. They also asked us then to try to model their process. It's a 48-hour run for their 2040 analysis. They want to get that down to more like 24. That's the kind of process. We found at least four places which were easy to fix with parallel processing, with four cores. And we were able to find that in traffic assignment, we could gain about 50%. Trip distribution, mode choice, traffic assignment, and overall reduce their processing time by 40% by doing nothing different to the model but just parallelizing those four components. Very simple solutions. And for WMATA, we have a bigger machine available. We don't, and for transit assignments, we don't have this process of the traffic assignment equilibrium model to worry about. So we can parallelize the whole process. It has 22 basic mode combinations involved in it, so we can take a process that was running sequentially in these kind of time frames, parallelize it in these kind of ways, and bring it down significantly by just looking at that kind of activity. What we're learning from here, though, is that there is can have significant computational savings by simple parallelization steps, but the concepts really are not familiar to most MPO modelers. They don't really know how to do it. And they don't really have a quick, easy tool that does a parallelize threads and join and wait for the answer. That kind of simple process, it doesn't require any change in their software. It just requires a way they manage the batch process that goes through the whole thing. And there are simple ways to do that. Highway assignment, however, is still a major bottleneck for them. And basically, the concept is we need a principle here that says changing the computer configuration should not change the model results, regardless. Single CPU, multi-threads, cluster computing, you should get the same answer by rerunning the same inputs. Dr. Cog and RTD in Denver have a new focus model, brand new off the shelf. It's based on Transcad, C#, and SQL Server database interfaces. They bought a huge machine to run this thing. So it's basically 32 CPU or 64 hyper-threaded cores, 64 gigabytes of memory. Not a huge zone system, but it's an activity-based model with it comes from the DASIM SACOG family, and CS implemented that within the C# and SQL Server environment. For the three feedback loops, it takes 60 hours. Too long. They want to improve that, and they're looking. Even at the 60 hours, there were a lot of simplifying compromises made in the modeling process to get it down that far. So, RTD, the transit agency, is still using the old model, Compass, for the FTA NuSTAR to work until they can kind of get this down to a more reasonable level. This is the model structure, overall high-level model structure for the activity-based model in Denver. Lots of steps. It does use zone points, so each individual household or employment location is identified for the trip activity model, and then it's combined into zones for the highway assignment and things like that. Basically, they need to kind of come up with a model migration plan. They need to seek FTA's acceptance of its new starts, kind of for new starts work. Need to know how and where they're going to freeze the trip tables for the summit analysis. Currently, they're thinking about the tour mode choice model, which basically is halfway through the model chain and kind of throwing away a lot of the bottom end of it to do the transit analysis. They need to improve the consistency between the models and remove some of these simplifying assumptions to do it more effectively from FTA's point of view. The hardware software is also an issue. This is a big machine. It's expensive, about $35,000 for hardware software. The local agencies are really balking at that. Even RTDs will balking at that kind of price, but that's sort of the world they're in. So it's hard to purchase. It's hard to install. It's basically going to be locked up in a server room. And we're not used to doing that in our modeling kind of framework. So having someone who knows how to tweak a SQL database and who knows how to maintain a big machine like this is going to have an extra expense and an issue for their process. What they found, however, is that they're really only getting about 10% of their CPUs being used during their model run, primarily because of the bottlenecks they're having in the database interface. So optimizing the database interface is going to be critical. A standard, off-the-shelf SQL Server database is not really well designed for transportation applications. It's basically designed for fast queries and interactive editing like that. But if you're going to dump a whole bunch of data on it all at once and change all of the records all at once, it really gets slow. Because you're doing record locking, you're doing the indexing and relationships between the databases are all being done in real time. They lock the database up and it just freezes the system for a good bit of time. So some faster methods that we're going to pursue in the next study with CS and others at Dr. Cog is looking at how we can speed up that database interface, going to bulk loading into the database, relaxing the relationship checking that goes on when you try to update SQL Server databases, creating this kind of trusted partnership between the transportation model and the database server so that it knows that it doesn't have to worry about all those details and can update the indices and relationships offline outside of the modeling process so that you can get that in and out real quick. The other thing we need to do, as I mentioned, is modify some of the simplifying assumptions. In the current process, the park and ride is only partially implemented. It only affects the tour mode choice model. There's no intermediate stops available on a park and ride trip, and it can only be loaded in a production attraction format. Everything else in the model, all other transits, loaded in OD format, because that's what they really want. So the simplifying assumption is basically it's two times the outbound park and ride path is what's used in the mode choice model. And that doesn't take into consideration the return time of that trip or returning to that same parking lot to pick up the car. So those kinds of things are part of the problem. Basically, the Transcat interface really doesn't handle this tour-based back and forth very effectively. So they were looking at a process to actually construct a path that returns to the same park and ride lot by, you know, going an outbound park and ride, transit back to the park and ride lot, and then park and ride drive to the origin at the various times of day when that may take place. So you get basically a tour-based park and ride skim rather than out and then in separately. So you got to combine those skims. So what we're looking at is trying to build basically a tour that starts in the AM, comes back in the PM, goes to the same park and ride lot, and assigning that in an OD format. That's the challenge that they're trying to get into. So one of the ways we try to do this with Transcat, and there's various ways you can get into this. You basically are, in the traditional original process, they were reading O's and D's and then D's to O's. Randomly reading each cell in the matrix of 100 plus tables at the same time, and that was really very onerous, and that's why they scrapped all that and went to one-directional path concepts. So an idea here was to transpose the DO, combine it, and create rows that have, if you start in the AM and you return in the AM, start in the AM, return midday, start AM, return. So you have all those combinations in a row in the matrix to make the Transcat processing go a lot faster. To create that table for the mode choice model, several options were looked at and tested. The original one was just to use JSDK with cell reads. It took 30 hours to process to create the skim file that goes into mode choice. If we use vectors to read and write, 3 hours. If we write a custom program and use the DLL, 8 minutes. Okay, so there's huge impacts depending on how you design your software and use the tools that you've got available to you. So you want to, if possible, kind of read all that stuff in the memory, do your merging calculations, and write it out, and that's very fast. So streamlining the whole process like this in many ways can really simplify and reduce the cost of the process. So from some lessons learned here, databases are real nice for analyzing the results, but they really need to be optimized for inline modeling applications. And store as much in the memory as you can, use flat files if you need to as intermediate storage devices, do bulk loads into the database at the end of the process or offline if you can avoid, if you can do that, so it's not in your model chain and really slowing it down. Standard GISDK interfaces are not always the most efficient, and you can consider how you might be able to do that through custom processing tools, especially if you have a lot of memory like this particular computer system does. The Sharp 10 C10 Jacksonville project is a DASIM transSIMS integration. The DASIM is the tour model, does parcels, 30-minute activity schedules, uses 22 time period skims, peaks are 30-minute skims for a 1335 zone system. It outputs the activity assigned to an individual minute and in the transSIMS activity locations. So those are points on links. The transSIMS is doing a regional simulation, the dynamic user equilibrium, 1 second, et cetera. Basically, it's outputting zone-to-zone skim based on 5-minute link and turning movement travel times. So what had been implemented and is in version 4 of transSIMS, this is router microsimulator dynamic user equilibrium process. It's traditionally run on the track cluster, which is this big computer system like this it's at Argonne National Labs. It's free, but you know it's a big system. They went the wrong way there. Did I lose it? I'm going the wrong way again. Okay. So typically, it's doing 16 partitions, running 16 computers at the same time, but it has to go through a single processor for the simulator microsimulator. So version 4 is not parallelized in any way. Each iteration takes about 3.5 hours through the router and simulation. You get to 20 of those in 3 days is basically what you get to a stable solution. RSG has this kind of high quality gap criteria for convergence, so they want us to do 60 iterations, which takes about 9 days. And then there's 4 global iterations on top of that, which for this forecast was 36 days for a single run. Obviously, not going to work. So the whole system really needed to be redesigned to think about how we could upgrade the transSIMS environment to handle these multi-threading and IMPI performance issues to deal with these things much more effectively. So version 5 is the environment that has been developed both for Chicago and this project to help address those issues. Just an example of some of the software design implications within transSIMS for the router, the multi-threaded design, reading a single trip thing from DASIM, putting it into an ordered queue so that multiple path builders can pick up a particular person, route their trips for the day, put that into an output queue, which an output processor can then write to multiple files, one approach. The MPI approach does something similar. You have the basic process here, but then you're splitting it up into masters and slaves, which then aggregate the data back for things like travel time calculations on individual links. Another design for what we're looking at right now for these large memory machines, which have lots of memory and lots of CPUs, is to actually partition the whole thing. We've partitioned, in this case, Jacksonville into 64 partitions, and can run the whole router in 3 minutes. So that's a very big savings in the overall processing time. You can also, of course, this is just doing a sequential process within each thread, but you can also then have multiple path builders here doing the same thing we did earlier if you really have that kind of environment. So from an integrated computing point of view, what we're trying to say here is that the file input outputs and the data manipulation process were a huge component of the transSIMS time to run this process. It creates gigabyte files it creates gigabyte files several times during each iteration of the simulation. So anything we can do to bring that all into memory and use our CPUs to do that iteratively within memory so we don't actually write out files will be a big improvement. The simulator is going to, geographic partitions, and then within that we're varying the computational resolution, within each iteration. So we might have a 20 to 60 iteration assignment, but do we need to do the full microsimulation iteration 1, 2, and 3? What about doing it 59, you know, whatever. So having early simulation, early iterations used more like a time-based flow concept with speed, volume, delay equations that then go to a macro level analysis, that then go to a meso and micro level, so that you get more detailed as you go through the simulation, you build up understanding of the travel times as you go, and therefore you can have much quicker processing early on and more fine-tuned results later in the process. Ultimately, this is not done yet, but it's in the process of being looked at. It's actually integrating the router and microsimulator into a single software environment so that it's talking without passing, putting anything on the file, but passing back and forth and doing the iterations within the overall process. So I think, obviously, from some software performance lessons, you want to create all your isolate all your independent calculations and threads or partitions. Preserve your input order. One of the important things that we're trying to do is, if you're going to do 16 partitions or 64 partitions, the data outputs should look the same and be in the same order, so that random numbers and things like that don't mess you up in the overall process. And we're going to avoid file and data locks. You want to avoid a lock at all possible within your code and between your code and the database. So write everything in memory in kind of fixed pre-allocated memory space. Have unique ownership for a given thread within at least a record within the database. And then if you need to have private memory to store intermediately and then dump it all out at required points where you can lock the database for one time rather than every second or something in the simulation. So some principles that I think we need to live by as far as advanced practice models and multi-threading and getting into high-performance computing is that, again, like we said earlier, the configuration should not change the results, and that the data partitioning or rerunning the model should not change any of the results either. So we need basically random seeds and random impacts to be consistent and reproducible from one run to the next. And then there's this whole issue of how the industry is going to develop models and distribute it to those in the world who have to do planning studies, and that really in our environment there's this balance between run times and the computing requirements to actually run that model. Some agencies like COG are not going for the big computers, going for the longer run times, but for advanced practice models I think we definitely need to have these high performance computers. And then you got the whole issues of how the application is going to be run, distributed to agencies within the region, and what the staffing challenges of kind of maintaining and understanding, and the IT department or whatever that has to help you with that process is all going to be very significant. I think that's it.
Thanks, David.
Any questions?
Any question for David?
I just had a comment that I just wanted to thank you for saying those things so I don't have to. because they're all very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you say high performance computers, that can mean a lot of things. I know the people think you should spend a lot of money on big computers with lots of RAM, like servers, mm-hmm. but they tend to have pretty slow processors.
Yeah.
A lot of times you're better off buying a lot of smaller machines with really fast state-of-the-art processors and solid-state disk drives and things like that.
Yeah, we do have both concepts, Windows clusters, for example, or Linux clusters, and those can be very helpful. The network communication can be an issue if you're doing these multi-threaded, because that really requires an MPI type of application, running multiple applications on multiple machines. We have purchased a large server that I think is going to be better in the long run because of everything's on that same machine. But there are going to be trade-offs.
There's a huge conceptual trade-off, and whenever you have to distribute memory, it's a huge conceptual design issue.
I understand all this. I've been struggling with many issues, so I
I just want to ask, there are several techniques that we have applied. And my feeling may be not all of them are applied here, but I would like to ask you those numbers first. This multitude of level of service matrices, that's an issue. But on the transit part, which gives you maturity, you know, 90% of them, they're highly sparse. So the compressed formats for them, if you really manipulate all the zeros, this is, but if you apply compressed formats in a smart way, because, for example, you have a commuter rail set of schemes, 20 different schemes, but you take one of them in equal time and use an indication of other zeros.
Right, right.
So it can be done in a very smart way. In our experience, this factor alone can really change.
Well, and the comment that was made earlier about computational issues of matrices versus individual, I think what we're really talking about in transit design is individual disaggregated everywhere. So you really never have a matrix that's generated. You don't have any zeros. You're only building paths for things that you want to do, deal with. If you do a one-to-many, for example, you have all the options for, if you can build that path and use it right away in your location choice model, without saving, then you're really going to get some real savings.
No, you showed also some statistical doctor quotes, so I don't know if they... looks to me that maybe not, because it might...
You're right. In that case, we're taking an activity model and a traditional highway sign, which is a matrix-based process, yes. That is the problem there. You're fully populating these cells.
Without a compressed format, basically efficient way, you cannot run an activity-based model. So it's a disaster if you try to do the mechanical sources.
Right.
We learned it like 10 years ago. But another thing, when you construct the entire, what you say, model run,
right,
which includes several global iterations and assignments, whatever, there's a lot of savings there. For example, you don't really need very detailed convergences of your assignment and network procedures. It's a very early runs of your model because you you don't have to run the entire sample, for example. There are so many ways. And finally, when you do a planning work, for example, alternative analysis, you don't have to rerun the entire system. There is a lot of ways how you would like to constrain it.
Yeah.
So my question, like all those numbers, really you can show 60 days, but actually you can do it in one day if you apply. What you show me is the worst case, which you...
I show you some very worst cases that were...
Yeah, you never have those full global iterations with complete convergence at each of them. You never run things like that. It's not if like, you run it maybe once a year. Most of the time, you run parts, something.
Iteration, yeah.
So
incremental runs, yeah.
Why do you need, for example, if it's combined with static assignment, like we showed you, why do you can run a crude static assignment with 10 iterations. If it's the very first iteration, everything's going to change after that. So why do you have to run it to the convergence of it? Because you need all the times. You don't care about volumes at this point.
Yeah.
So this factor alone would take away, it would be one fourth of your runtime at the first iterations of your model.
Well, we've actually find we have two convergence measures, trip-based measure, which is OD, you know, full trip, and then link-based convergence measure, relative gap. The relative gaps take a whole lot longer to converge in a simulation than the trip-based measure. So if all you're interested in is skins, you can get away with a whole lot less iterations, because those stabilize very quickly. But if you're looking at link-based, you're flopping around between a link with very small differences in travel times for the final assignment, let's say. That takes a lot longer.
Only for the final assignment.
Yeah.
So if...
Okay, sorry, we have to cut this discussion.
I just have to say one thing.
Okay.
I have 400 comments. Anybody who's interested in them can catch up with me some other time.
400?
400.
2 minutes, it's 800 minutes. No, it doesn't feel that expensive.
Okay, let's move on to the last presentation. Where did Michael go?
Just a
comment. Oh, what?
Time for some comments.
Okay. Well, just by the time he's coming back, so one of the main ideas behind this workshop, talking about the integration, was to look into need for a common platform that we can all contribute to that, and maybe a common language, programming language that we can use, trying to not reinvent the wheel for every single simulation that you're developing or every single project that you're working. So Argonne team has started, they have a project with of the highway that started developing this Polaris project, is planning and operation language for agent-based regional integration simulation. So as a starting point for this effort, so hopefully.
So we'll get into that when he gets back.
So
we'll get on to the first two of the 400.
Well, let's start with the first one, so we'll see if we can get the second one.
I saw this happening already.
Everyone's got to be looking at me.
Well, you have a longer presentation.
We've been doing a study for FTA, which involves looking at what MTOs are doing for traffic assignment, convergence, and feedback. And part of this was just actually asking people what they're doing now. And without going into great detail, let's just say that for all the things that we're talking about here today, one has to reckon with the fact that most every MPO doesn't have a reasonable practice for static traffic assignment and feedback right now.
Seems to be.
Also, there are a lot of new findings about convergence and convergence error, which are very interesting and very disturbing. And they all have analogs.